That is the attitude you should have. But if the first thing you bring up when you look at the standings is Craig Council, then he has real estate in your head.
I don't think you can even argue.
Oh, no argument. The Green Bay Packers, the way it ended, but like I just said it, like they were 7-8 last year against everyone besides the Bears, right?
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
As much as they want, because both teams are good and that game to be...
Kyle, you're not feeling this.
Jason knows I'm not feeling
it. Kyle and I have already had this argument.
Yeah.
You hate that.
What else was on the WB back then? What else did I miss?
You probably saw the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah.
The Jamie Foxx show. Don't come on now, Craig. Come on, Craig. You know the Jamie Foxx show?
No.
You know,
this is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin.
I feel like I might say this like 7 times a year, but is this the best day of the year in sports and like the best weekend of the year in sports? Like there's everything. Like I know y'all football people think, well, there should be NFL football going on always, but baseball started, NBA's coming into the playoffs, March Madness, men's and women's. Who saw Paige Beckers yesterday? That was insane. Insanity.
She went for 40, right?
It wasn't just 40. It was, they were down 3, and then she had 29 in the second half, outscoring Oklahoma herself. She was insane. But nothing bigger than the analysis last night at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Unbelievable. Once again, I don't know that I've ever, like, so I'm reading Giannis's book right now, or the book about Giannis. It's not his book. It's a book about, has anyone read that book?
I'm not a big reader, Craig. I don't know if that shocks you or not, but.
Kyle, do you know how to read?
Do you know how to read?
Allegedly.
He does not know how to read. If you listen to Kyle Breston-Nortman, weekdays 2-5,
yeah.
Him and Brad Nortman have both been banned from reading on that show. And Ben Brust is not far behind.
Ooh, I'm just confirming our mystery guest. So we will have a mystery guest.
Oh, good. You show up all tan, back from vacation. You're ready to work, brother. I'm proud of you.
I missed the analysis.
That's tan, huh?
You look maybe burnt.
Yeah,
what would you say?
He looks like Craig.
You don't notice the difference? See, Kyle
he's
doesn't
orange.
See color.
What do you mean?
Kyle doesn't see color.
Is he orange?
Kyle's not like you. He doesn't see color.
Kyle doesn't see color.
No, trust me. I see color. I don't subscribe to that. Don't call me the coach from Sherrod Moore or whatever his name is from Michigan. I don't see color. Dog. Okay. Your beard, though.
Well, that I didn't.
Little facial hair.
I shaved the day before I left, and then I got home late last night.
How late?
So, like midnight. Like, actually, I drove by. I called Greg Scalzo because I landed at O'Hare. And I called him to see if the analysis was still going. I had 3 teenagers in the car driving them back after our trip. And I was like, all right, I'll see if I could stop by. But the show was over.
Excuses. I was still there at 12. And I was with Greg at midnight.
Kyle
we
was out
together.
Midnight.
At midnight?
Kyle and baby girl were still there.
So that would have been a good time to bring Craig, 3 14-year-olds to Pottawatomie.
Oh, 100%.
At midnight.
100%. Good food. Teach them a little bit how to play blackjack, some craps.
No Bobby Portis this year at the analysis.
I'll tell you what, though. I'm not going to put anybody's business on the street, but at midnight, TA was still there.
That was a great job by him.
He was hanging out all night.
He's one of those guys who, like, when it's his thing, he's going to make sure everybody has a good time. And I guess it's public, so we could say it.
Yeah, we got to talk about this.
That Giannis was there last night.
Giannis was there last night, but you said it's public. I'm going to let you do it.
Yeah, so, no, I wasn't there. Giannis was not an announced guest.
Correct.
To be there last night at the analysis at Pottawatomie. And you'll be able to listen to the podcast of last night's event. But there were, you know, Brooke Lopez had been announced as a guest.
Yep.
Kyle Kuzma had been announced as a guest. Brandon Jennings had been announced as a guest. They were all there. Then, as a surprise, Robin Lopez comes, who I heard just killed it.
Who, by the way, I mean,
No one could explain what he did that was so funny, but all anyone I've talked to all morning has been like, oh my God, Robin Lopez was amazing. Robin Lopez. Well, so what did Robin Lopez do that was so funny?
You know me, Craig. I love insane people.
Yeah.
He's an insane person. I mean, the things he talked about, again, I don't even know how to explain it. It was
did he talk about Dirty Al Gallagher?
He did not talk about Dirty Al Gallagher. A little bit funnier than that, in fact. He talked about hobos quite a bit.
Okay.
In Portland. He said that's what the city of Portland is known for. And then he talked about living in a van. He talked about drugs. I mean, it was just nuts. It was just insanity. He was one of those people where you just have no idea what he's going to say next. And it was awesome. Robin Lopez was a terrific surprise. And my role last night had me backstage quite a bit. So this is a dude that's hanging in a green room for an hour. And Kyle, where were you last night?
I was doing my truth duties. Mm-hmm. I was at a ball. Mayor's ball.
All right.
Wait, I thought you said you were at Pottawatomie till midnight.
Craig, I'm a hardworking man. I go to both events.
Okay, so you were at the let's step back 1 second.
He didn't go to the finales of the show.
I could not attend because I was at the Milwaukee Mayor's Ball. The United Negro College Fund raised over $44,000 last night, and I contributed to that.
I was just about to ask how much of that was Kyle Wallace's.
I contributed some money to that. They got me
$44,000. That's not even enough to put one person to college anymore.
Well, it's a scholarship.
Yeah,
it's for a year.
It depends what school you're going to nowadays. I mean. We gotta help step that up for next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm sure their goal was $30,000.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good.
Craig.
Okay.
We need to invite Craig. Hey, UNCF. I got a donor.
Double that up, Craig. There you go.
I mean, if it's not the same night as the analysis, count me in for next year.
So anyway, Robin Lopez.
Terrific. So Robin Lopez. Okay. So then, was there any? How many other surprise guests were there?
There was one other.
Okay.
And his name is Giannis. Yeah.
So Giannis shows up on the same night that Mariah has their child.
Their fourth child, yeah. So, baby girl announced, yeah.
So I was going to say that. So not only, so literally, like, he had a baby, and then he came to this event and gender revealed on a live podcast?
That is correct, yeah. You know, some of our operations team was both under the impression he was showing up and then was not and then was. He showed up, you know, about an hour into the event, and he goes on stage, and the first thing he does, Craig, is he goes, for the kids in the audience who might not know what I'm about to show you, and he just pulls down a sleeve, and he shows the hospital admission band. I thought
you were saying he was going to pull out a placenta or something. I was be like,
I thought he was going to pull out a photo of the push. The baby with all the slime on it.
No, not quite. It's a family show, fellas. Come on. Mind out of the gutter. But, so insane. But, yeah, I mean, all six of them on stage together. Good starting five plus one, I guess.
So, by the way, right now I'm reading Giannis, The Improbable Rise of an NBA Champion by...
Maron Fader?
Yes. Yeah. Now, when you read that book, which I'm reading right now, you knew that Giannis would show up last night. Like, literally, no matter what was going on, if his brother was doing something, and the same way, the same way in any direction, it's incredible, and it's worth a read, even if you feel like you've watched every documentary, you've seen everything, the book's worth a read. All right, back to last night. So Giannis shows up, he pulls out his hospital bracelet, and then what?
And then they talked about all sorts of stuff, right? Like, what drives them? Different things about the Bucks. They talked a little bit about Dame, which I'm sure you and I will get to a little bit later this morning. It was just terrific. And then Robin Lopez is just peppering him with questions. The great Jim Paschke had the opportunity to ask a few questions, who was in the audience in our VIP section last night. It was awesome, Craig. The only part that wasn't awesome was the fact that I stood on my feet for 12 hours straight and you were nowhere to be found.
That I wasn't there?
Yeah.
So you're sad, just missing me?
Yeah, why didn't you change your... I'm actually in the process of changing my flight so I can be somewhere on May 3rd. And you know, I ain't got it like that, but you know what? I love my team, and so I can't miss stuff.
We let him go 9 minutes, and he's like, well, as long as it's not on the same night as Thanalysis Live, I'll be at the Mayor's Ball next year.
Yeah,
you didn't show up to Thanalysis Live this year. What are you doing?
I was booked for Thanalysis Live. They changed the date. I had this trip planned. I wasn't able to be.
You know what I love about flights? They got them leaving every day, Craig. Early, late. I mean,
there's only one flight a day.
Where the hell were you? What private island?
Yeah,
I was in
private island.
I was the Liberia to O'Hare flights. There aren't a lot of them.
Liberia or like in Costa Rica?
Yeah, Liberia, Costa Rica.
Oh, that's how you say it, Liberia. I wasn't sure because you know it's Liberia, Africa too. So
yeah,
I know.
That's I don't know if that's how you say it, but that's,
I was sure. I was like, look at you, Craig, taking the kids over to Africa.
It's Africa.
Yeah, we were scheduled to go to Africa actually when COVID hit. We were going to go that summer. We were going to go with the NBA Cares to Africa. That was
We
were scheduled to do that, but never. I've never been to Africa.
So you said also only one flight out, huh?
So one flight out, and we weren't going to. We'd committed to it, and we were not going to change it. And
so
you know,
you took a vacation, which
yep.
First off, congratulations. Good for you. How was it? Any highlights?
He takes more vacations than us, Strofe. What do you mean, congratulations?
Well, I don't take vacation, Kyle, so that's not a high bar.
Well, I've taken more vacations. Kyle, no one takes more vacation than you.
That's not true. Everybody takes more vacation.
Than Kyle?
Oh, God, yeah.
Kyle's always going places.
Craig, hold on a minute. Kyle, I rarely have your back, but I will in this scenario.
Go ahead, Stro.
If there is anything going on at ESPN Milwaukee, there will be definitely two people there, and you're looking at them.
No, Kyle's always traveling somewhere. That's Kyle goes below everywhere.
Kyle doesn't take a day off.
On weekends, I may do a weekend trip.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Kyle carries, so in our company, you can carry what, 5 PTO days over to the next year?
Yeah.
Kyle carries 15 over because he doesn't take any PTO.
Kyle works hard. Kyle works very hard.
He doesn't work hard.
But he uses his Frontier Airlines. That was a year ago. He uses his unlimited plane.
He's got like 87 weddings this summer, so he might take
a
little bit.
I have a lot of weddings. I do have to go out of the country for a wedding in Portugal. Right.
But we got a lot of things to get to, though. I mean,
well, of course we do.
With what happened with the
hold on.
Okay,
vacation.
Wait. Yeah?
Tell us about it. Give us something.
I don't care. I don't care about my vacation. So, all right. So we got a lot. What?
Did you put enough sunscreen on?
You're burnt right
now. I didn't put any sunscreen on.
Yeah, come on, Craig. You can't do that. You know, you ain't got enough vitamin D in you. You got to be able to put
some sunscreen. I needed some vitamin D.
Did you see a dolphin? Did you go surfing? Give us something,
Craig. I saw a monkey.
You were gone for a week.
I saw monkeys.
You got to be careful with the monkeys. You got to be careful with the dolphins.
I did some whitewater rafting.
What is that?
I don't even know what that means.
You don't know what whitewater rafting is?
You're in a raft?
Yeah, I got my email inbox down to 10. Which is great.
So he's bragging about working on vacation. Just take note of that.
It's just a good accomplishment for me. So that was like a lot of good things.
So do you delete emails or you mean like your unread messages?
No. I'm saying I worked through my inbox to get it down to 10, which is usually better than I am when I'm at work. Like it's usually when I go home at night, it could be at 100 or it could be 150. And so to be able to get it down to 10,
humble brag.
I feel good about that. That like it makes me feel refreshed. Like when everyone's like, oh, are you refreshed from vacation? Like it's not like I'm totally separated, but part of being able to be refreshed from vacation is to have your inbox clean when you come back. That for me makes me feel good coming back from a vacation.
So working on vacation to clean the inbox makes you feel refreshed. Hey, take their own, man. Take their own.
Inboxes, those are nasty
things. Well, I appreciate
things.
You always respond to my email, so I feel fortunate then.
Well, I reply to everybody's, but you know, there's different timing, and you got to like, it's like, what's it called when you work at as a nurse at a hospital? Like, you're like, you know, how you have to like balance the timing of it? There's a word for it.
Yeah.
You compare what we do to a nurse. And
you know what I mean? Like, where awesome. You're.
No cold reds here.
No. Come on. It's like a common word. Someone will text it in. What's it called? When you're. Like how you prioritize when you're, come on, you guys don't know the word?
I'll ask Google.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, ask Google.
You've lost me.
Okay, here. What is the medical word for prioritizing? Triage. There we go. Triaging.
Yep, that's a word I would use in a sentence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kyle, by the way, Colin texts in. Kyle owns a boat and doesn't even know what whitewater rafting is. That is insane behavior.
That is that's called America's different, man. Listen, I own a pontoon. I get on a pontoon boat. I didn't.
You really don't know what whitewater rafting is?
I feel like it's just the raft where they be on a little thing going all fast, right?
They are in a river and you just go down a river in a tube.
Yeah, rafting.
Okay. Yeah.
How long did you do that for?
Like over an hour.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
So that's what the people are doing. They're whitewater rafting. I thought they were kayaking.
Yeah. No, I mean, they might be, but we were whitewater rafting.
I had somebody asked me last night, and his name rhymes with Peter Fagan. He said, is Craig here? I said, no, he's on vacation, apparently. He goes, thank God, I don't want to see him.
Yeah.
And he walked away.
Yeah.
So you guys got beef?
It's very kind. Yeah,
is there beef going on there?
That's how New York people express love to each other.
Okay.
Frank texts in triage. Good job, Frank. Getting in there.
Triage. I'm going to start using the triage.
Good job, Frank.
When we got to go to break, wait a minute. When we need to go to break, I'm just going to go in your ear. Triage.
Yeah, we got a lot of things to get to today.
We do.
I don't know if we're starting. I mean, we have serious Bucks things to talk about. We got to really understand where this team is. Obviously, the Dame situation at the top of the list from just care of humanity standpoint. But we got to talk about where this team is going. We have to talk about where this Brewers team is going. I looked this morning. The Cubs are, Kyle, even money to win the National League Central. Even money, the Cubs. And the Brewers are plus 300.
That, great value.
That
I just put money
you
on
got,
it.
You got less than plus 300.
Damn!
You can go double down, brother.
If you give up 7-8 home runs in the first three innings of the game, it's going to change your odds a little bit. So we got to talk about what's going on with the Brewers. We'll get into some March Madness stuff. There is so much to get to. Jason Wilde will join us. We have a great mystery guest. I don't want to say a timely mystery guest because I don't want to give away any clues or anything.
Kyle, write that down.
I won't say it's timely in any way, but everything's timely right now. You got the NFL draft coming to Wisconsin in less than a month. Like, this is crazy what we have going on right now in Wisconsin sports. And we'll talk about it with you as we continue. It is Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
All right, we got so many things to get to. I'm going to hit, let's go real quick. I know you guys, did you have a chance to talk about Wisconsin? You talked about Wisconsin last week. I actually saw the podcast come through.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. So, any quick thoughts, Kyle, now that you're a week removed from Wisconsin? Once again, not making it to the Sweet 16. I mean, my take on this year for Wisconsin was this was an incredible year. It was one of the most fun teams to watch in all the years of watching Wisconsin basketball, which is hard to say because usually a big part of why you enjoy Wisconsin is seeing the guys gel together that you've seen kind of grow through the program for years and years.
But you did for the most part this year, though. You did.
But to do that this year with the best player being a transfer, I think is so unique. And to do it this year while, you know, the guy who you thought would be gluing this team together had transferred somewhere else and was starring, you know, all of a sudden somewhere else.
Best player of the year in a conference, ACC.
It was just a weird year, but it was so enjoyable as Badger fans. And I don't feel like BYU, like when you watch them, you're like, they're trash. Like, this is an embarrassing loss. Like, BYU was good. They played well. Mm-hmm. It was a tough matchup. And congrats to Greg Gard and Wisconsin on a great year.
Yeah, I said it last week. I'll say it again, though. I mean, he deserves a ton of credit for everything he did, right? To just the ability to adapt and evolve and change your ideology and your offense, right? Frankly, to be able to play the way they did this year, on top of dipping into the transfer portal after losing a chunk of your roster last year. Impressive, even though you fell short of the goal ultimately, which is at least the Sweet 16. It felt like this was the year finally they would get back there for the first time since 2017. But successful season nonetheless, and any warmth that was on his seat prior to the season or in the beginning of the season is certainly cooled down.
Yeah, that's the same perspective.
All right, now let's go to Marquette, okay? So
that one's a little different.
Was there last night. He was at the Mayor's Ball.
Oh, and Shaka the night before was watching Tyler Kolek
at the Bucks game
defeat the Milwaukee Bucks.
He had a nice night on Friday.
Yeah, Tyler Kolek's had a good little run of games right now. So Marquette, to me, I think when you see what Marquette players are doing in the NBA, it makes me appreciate this season more than I would have for Marquette, because you'd be like, God, they ran out of steam. They played so well early and didn't play late. Like, this, it felt a little disappointing. And then you're like, wait, like, literally there's like guys all over the NBA starring who've been part of these last few seasons. And for them to play as well as they did this year, having lost that much talent, to me,
that's true,
made this again an impressive season. Strophy doesn't seem to be buying it.
They got first round guys winning first round, true to a point, left the team early.
But hold on, Kyle, because I don't care what you lose, right? That was kind of the point I just made on Wisconsin. Is they lost Chucky Hepburn, they lost Connor Siegen, Tyler Wall left. Right, they lost of their rotation. They lost 50% last year, and they evolved into a brand new team. For Marquette, you know, they didn't dip into the portal at all. They didn't lose anybody outside of Kolick and Iguodala, who went to the NBA. The expectations were much higher, and I think at a point in December and into January, this was viewed as a top 10 team in the country. And their point guard Cam Jones, who a terrific college basketball player, going to miss watching him at Fiserv and with Marquette, but he was a guy that was viewed as a National Player of the Year candidate. And then all of a sudden, once the calendar flipped to February, offensively, this team just crumbled. They stopped scoring the basketball, which is clearly problematic for a team that was a heavy favorite in the Big East.
I feel like Cam needed to be the best player in the country for this team to go to the Final Four.
Agreed. I never thought they were Final Four good, Craig, but they were Sweet 16 good. They were Elite Eight good, right? Yeah. They beat Wisconsin back in December.
For them to go to the Elite Eight, I think he had to be the best player in the country.
Tend to agree, and he was.
And he seemed like he might
be. In December.
Right, he seemed like he might be.
But in 2025, he just wasn't.
All right. And men's NCAA tournament is weird to me. I don't understand what's going on.
Because
why
it's so
do you
chalky?
Say
yeah.
that?
Like
your boy Gruber nailed it though. I think he had one upset his entire bracket. Pick.
Yeah, every higher seed is winning every game. Like I've never seen anything like this.
I mean, yeah,
it's one versus two, one versus three, one versus two.
Yeah,
those are the four elite eights. Like that is wild. That St. John's is the only team that is a two or a one that didn't make it to the Elite Eight. That's wild.
I mean, these conferences
just like statistically. But you say battle tested, but everyone's like, "Oh, this is deep. That's deep." I guess not.
Well,
I guess the best teams are the best teams.
Well, I think
because the whole thing about the NCAA tournament is you're only playing once. It's not a best of seven series. I could see it being the ones and the twos advancing, but in one game,
Craig,
that's wild.
What you're missing is that even some of these. Remember, you had these Cinderella teams, and usually the Cinderella teams had what? They had age. You know what happens now is that
got age.
Well, but more importantly, Craig, if you are a good guy at a mid-major, you're gonna leave. Like a great example, my cousin went to South Dakota State. There's a guy named William Kyle. He's at South Dakota State with him. He played with Chucky actually at Nebraska in high school. Mm. And William Kyle's at South Dakota State, had a great year. And what did he do? He got the bag at UCLA. He was at UCLA for a year, and now he got the bag and he's going somewhere else.
Well, that's the guy at Drake, right? He's seen as maybe an NBA player, right? And went with his coach to Drake, and now we'll go to Indiana, right? Like, that'll happen, right?
So you can't. So now you have these teams that had a lot of juniors and seniors who played a lot. They played in the system. You don't have that anymore because all those guys are going to leave. There's no value in staying at a mid-major when I can go somewhere else and make more money. And so that is going to hurt the mid-majors in multiple ways because they're losing their guys, and now they don't have those teams where it's like, listen, this is a senior-laden team.
But you're talking about mid-majors. What about, like, so are those top eight teams, the only eight teams who have NILs?
Arkansas bought, they fought. Arkansas
fought. All these teams fought, but like I'm saying, the odds would be in a one and done tournament that somebody would shock someone in advance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's pretty much the same in the women's tournament too.
The
women's tournament tends
towards.
To be more chalky.
It's more chalky.
But
yeah.
I at least thought like Notre Dame as a three seed would win. But who won yesterday?
Man,
Texas a one seed.
Yeah.
USC a one seed without Juju.
Without Juju.
TCU a two seed.
It's the exact same. And from a seeding perspective,
UConn,
it's the exact same.
It is unbelievable. Yeah, exactly. LSU is the only three seed that advanced, right? Yeah. So it's exactly the same.
But look who it is.
Four
it's LSU.
One seeds. Yep. 4-1 seeds, 3-2 seeds, and a three seed. Like, just statistically, I don't even know how that's possible.
Yeah, it's unique. The product's still been fun, but yeah, I mean, the chalkiness has ruined brackets faster than ever, right? Because you just don't have the sheer amount of upsets that you're used to. You don't have an 8 seed or a 7 seed.
It does make you change your bracket strategy because I used to have I've had the strategy like, hey, if you're going to try to win a bracket with a lot of people in it,
you got to do a deep run like high seed, double-digit seed.
You're gonna, not even that, but you're going to have to pick someone to win it that everyone else isn't picking.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you pick Duke to win, there's going to be, like, 50 people, yeah, 60 people who pick Duke to win. So, like, then you're just getting lucky, right? And it's harder. Whereas if you pick someone off the grid a little bit, you have a better chance. Maybe that's not the way to go anymore because I guess it's
can't we just view this as
triage.
I think that's his new code to say that Jason Wilde's coming up. All right. We still haven't talked Brewers. We were supposed to talk Bucks in this segment. We will talk both of those. But when we continue, it will be Jason Wilde joining the show at Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
No, say slash slash.
Sunday Karma.
I won't never sell my soul.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Another person who missed the big goings-on last night joins us now, Jason Wilde. A note analysis for Jason last night. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Craig. How was it?
I was not there either.
It was phenomenal, Jason.
I returned from out of the country and raced to Pottawatomie, but it was over.
Me and Kyle, the hardest working men in showbiz.
Kyle was not there either.
Kyle wasn't also. Kyle was Never mind. I guess I'm the only one that can speak.
Oh, at least you can say where I was.
Kyle was at the United Negro College Fund Mayor's Ball last
fundraiser
night.
Event.
Yep.
Wow.
He was wearing a tux. By the way, we haven't talked about this yet.
Wait, Kyle, did Kyle's they still say, is the United Negro College Fund, is their slogan still because the mind is a terrible thing to waste?
That is exactly what it is, yes.
Yeah. See, that's what it was back in the day.
Look at Craig showing he knows what you were doing last night. Little humble brag there.
No, I was not. I was asking if their slogan's the same. Just because I asked something doesn't mean
Craig,
I'm bragging.
Craig, what? Nobody asks about somebody's slogan if you're not bragging.
No, it's wondering if it's still.
No, because it's such a good slogan.
Yeah.
Say it again.
I was literally going to ask the exact same question if Craig hadn't, because it's like reading is fundamental is another one from our youth.
It was like branded when we were kids. Yeah, when we were kids, that was branded really well. They like on just PSAs and stuff, the United Negro College Fund, because the mind is a terrible thing to waste.
The mind is a terrible thing to waste. The analysis was great, though, Jason. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, Giannis shows up only hours after having a baby girl shows up to the podcast, which is absolutely incredible. Jason, we're going to start. We always end with Aaron Rodgers, but let's start with Aaron Rodgers.
Here we go again.
Is he going to, prediction, will he play this year?
Yes.
Ooh. So that means you think he will be the Steelers quarterback?
No.
Really?
I find myself wondering why you would allow this narrative, if you're the Vikings, to continue on, unless, of course, you do have, whether you'll admit them currently or not, concerns about how ready J.J. McCarthy will be to take on a team that went 14-3 last year and has the weapons it has a good defense and a really good coordinator.
But Jason, if you're the Vikings, and I know you'd have to pay a little bit because the Falcons elected to pay his roster bonus and keep him, but why not go Kirk Cousins, who you know has the chemistry and fits in with the team and the offense? Like, why go Rodgers over Kirk Cousins when you've seen Cousins already be as effective as he was in that offense if you do need that emergency guy?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know where KOC is at with if he had to choose between the two of them. I do know this, right? It would cost you a draft pick, some sort of trade compensation to get Kirk Cousins.
Yes, the Falcons will want something for him, and it was interesting that they did not release him, right? They kept him. I guess they could be saying, hey, Rodgers is our backup if we can't get Cousins, but we'll make a run at Cousins first. But it just seems like Cousins is the fit there more than Rodgers.
Yeah, it was interesting that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, among the things he said was how it was incredible to be part of conversations regarding a player of that caliber, meaning Rodgers. So, and the fact that Kevin O'Connell had conversations with Rodgers, that they have some history together, even though they never really worked together, I just thought that it was really telling that the GM basically twisted himself into a pretzel trying not to rule it out while also not upsetting his young quarterback. Now,
well, and by the way, on Kirk Cousins, who went and thought he was going to be the long-term starter for the Falcons, and then they draft Penix in the first round, I mean, maybe, I mean, I don't know, but is there a chance Kirk Cousins wouldn't want to go to Minnesota, you know, because he knows McCarthy is sitting there? Because, I mean, that's something that Rodgers would have to think about also, right? Like, if you go there, aren't you going to have to go there with some understanding with the organization that you're accepting that you're a one-year guy?
Yes, I think you would be, unless these guys are all super competitors, right? And they're going to say, well, if I play the way I know I'm capable of playing, that'll keep him on the bench for another year. Like Jordan Love was kept up. Like Rodgers has experience keeping a first-round draft pick on the bench.
Well, and right? I know Rodgers, you know, I have sources, Jason. I know you don't necessarily around the Packers, but I do. And I have sources.
Not as good as Ben Bross.
Yeah. I have sources around the Packers that have said that Aaron Rodgers felt that literally winning the MVP award was the only way he could remain the starting quarterback in the 2 years he won the MVP award. I mean, I think he has been there before where he's felt like that was the only way he'd be able to keep his job is by being the MVP, and he did it back-to-back years.
Wins the MVP out of spite.
Yeah,
he was also in his 30s.
Yeah, but late 30s. But you're all right. Now, here's the other part of this that makes me think that it makes more sense, and it's not just because I want it for the narrative. J.J. McCarthy, by being placed on injured reserve last year with that injury, after the knee surgery on his meniscus, he was not able to practice. That's what happens when you're on IR. So not only did he miss his entire rookie season, but he didn't even have the benefit of getting work. And to some degree, Jordan Love was in the same boat because they struggled to get him practice snaps in 2020 because Rodgers took all the first team reps, and they didn't even believe enough in Jordan Love in his rookie season to have him run the scout team because they had Tim Boyle as their number two. I mean, Jordan didn't even get to wear his jersey on a game day. And so there could be, and maybe there are, reservations among the Vikings too that, hey, not only is this guy first-year starter, but he hasn't even practiced as a backup. And so is he really going to be ready? Now, he could show them everything they want to see in the offseason, and they'll be like, no, we're good. We don't need Rodgers. We'll get Ryan Tannehill or some other veteran retread to back him up. But, again, I think they're holding that possibility of, hey, not only did this guy miss all this time last year, but he didn't practice. Maybe he's just not going to prove to be ready for this. And with Kevin O'Connell and what he did with Sam Darnold, maybe he can do the same with a first-year starter. But Packers fans know full well the struggles that Jordan Love had, at least during the first half of his first season as the starter. And he sat for 3 years to get ready. So I'm not saying it's a sure thing by any means, but I do think that there's a greater likelihood than probably Packers fans want to think about.
So, Strophy, you kind of rolled your eyes at me when I like even talked about Aaron Rodgers to start this segment. As you think about the NFC North, as a Packers fan, who would you prefer to be the Vikings quarterback this year?
J.J. McCarthy, not close.
You want? Okay, so that means.
Yeah, agreed.
And you're saying that's just for that.
If Aaron Rodgers joins the Vikings, they're a Super Bowl team.
Oh, you really believe that much in Aaron Rodgers? I think Aaron Rodgers is good. You still think he has the ability to play at the super high level?
I think you're saying
because the rest of their team is that good.
Bingo.
All you need is someone that serviceable to elevate them. Darnold could take them to where to I don't know, what were they, the number two seed or something?
No, they were the second best record wise.
They lost the Lions.
Second best record or third best record? Yeah.
Yeah. So if Sam Darnold
can do that, I think the four-time MVP can do that too. Yeah.
So Kyle, you don't think that?
No, I don't think he can make him to a Super Bowl. They make him a good. I'm not wrong. They make them a good team, but I don't see them as being a Super Bowl front runner. Can they go?
I mean, the Lions.
I wouldn't make it well, a period.
The Lions get Hutchinson back, and the Lions are better in some ways, but they lost a lot of coaches. They lost a lot.
Exactly. Losing both coordinators is crucial.
They get healthier
for them.
On their defense, but they lost players on their defense.
I think
that
Aaron
Vikings
Rodgers,
offense is so good.
It's so good, and they got an offensive line. I think Aaron Rodgers is very good. But I do not believe Aaron Rodgers is the same quarterback that you are envisioning that he is, as a guy that can truly lead a team.
He played really well at the end of the year. Remember, he was coming off an injury, and he played really well at the end of the year. We've gone through the stats. Jason, now, Jason, who are you picking to win the NFC North? Are you picking the Lions right now to win them?
Great question.
And if Rodgers is on the Vikings, does that change?
Yes and yes. Mm. Look, I don't think he's going to turn back the clock to 2020. And I think whether you have positive or negative feelings about Rodgers, we have to set those aside. Kyle, your negative feelings. Me, my positive feelings.
And I love Aaron.
I told Stroh, do you though?
No, I do. I'm over it. He's the ex. I'm over now.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure.
It's one thing, by the way. It's one thing to say you're over an ex. But then you go out and you see them with somebody else, with your division rival, and you think you're over them, but you realize maybe you're not, Kyle.
All of a sudden.
Spoken like some gentlemen that have lived that experience, huh, fellas?
No comment.
I told Stroh when we did Weekly Wildy this week that I went back on NFL Plus and watched some of Rodgers' games because I did not watch many of his games about – after like halfway through the season. And Craig is right. And look, his QBR, which Craig loves as a statistic, was not very good. But the eyeball test of watching him play, because the only plays that make it onto like social media is like that throwback pass that he throws it to Devontae, or he pitches it to Devontae Adams. Yeah. Devontae throws it back to him, and then like he gets lit up. Like, that was bad, and that's what you saw on social media. If you go back and look at the games, he played pretty darn well, as bad as that team was, toward the end of the year. And, yes, he's a year older, but, yes, he's also a year further removed from the ruptured Achilles. So I am just trying to warn you that an ultra-motivated guy that would get to play the Packers twice a year is much healthier than he had been last season, even though he's a year older chronologically, is not a guy that I would want to mess with if I'm a Packers fan. If I'm a Packers fan, I want them to go through even worse growing pains with J.J. McCarthy than the Packers went through during the first half of 23 with Jordan Love. I want that to extend the entire season. And I want Justin Jefferson being frustrated and Jordan Addison being frustrated. That's what I want as a Packers fan, and I think there's a better possibility of that happening with J.J. McCarthy starting at quarterback and fans being frustrated and their offense sputtering because he's going through growing pains than there is of Rodgers coming in and playing poorly. I think it's much more likely that Rodgers, if he ended up being their guy, that he would play well for them.
So, Jason, healthy Aaron Rodgers, you picking the Vikings over the Lions?
I am, because like the difference was one game, right? Wasn't it?
Correct.
Yep. The Lions 15-2 and the Vikings 14-3?
14-13, I think, but yes.
Okay, 13-4, 14, whatever. Yeah. All I know is that Sam Darnold to end the season, which Sam Darnold, by all accounts, really good dude. Everybody loved him that played with him. But he was terrible when the money was on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no doubt that Aaron Rodgers has had some games like that too, right, during playoff games where he didn't play nearly up to who he is. But
one touchdown really in his last playoff game, Jason.
Yeah, not enough touchdowns for sure. And didn't play well in that in the 2020 NFC Championship game, even though Brady played even worse. So, and by the way, that kind of an interjection really convinces me that you're totally over him and you like him now.
No, I like them, Jason.
By the way, Jason was right. Lions 15-2, Vikings 14-3.
They were 15-2?
Yeah. They were really good last year, fellas. Yeah.
I thought they were 14-3. Okay, my bad. Sorry, Jason.
And that's okay. And the only reason I'm picking against them is because I don't know what to expect when they lost both of their coordinators.
I mean, the last example we have of that is Philadelphia a couple years ago, and they lost, five of their last six games, including a playoff game. By the way, I don't know what I'm doing here because you summed up all of my thoughts really well. I mean, Aaron Rodgers still has his fastball, at least to a point. He's not MVP good, but he's still Aaron Rodgers. And another year off the Achilles, that's a really scary idea to have him in Minnesota. I don't like it. So, well done by you, Jason. You're good at your job.
Can I ask y'all a quick question? Are we just going to act like Aaron Rodgers still wasn't an issue inside the locker room last year? Are we just going
I will give you that 100%, Kyle.
We're just going to act like that, right?
Well, that's why I wonder if the Vikings are like, hey, do we really want to do this deal with the devil? Yeah, we have J.J. McCarthy. We have this great culture. Don't you think the Vikings – I mean, Jason, the Vikings have to be seeing – what happened with the Packers and what happened with the Jets? And being like, do we really want to do that again?
He's a reflective, introspective guy. Like, I think he realizes.
Do we really want
issues.
Him on McAfee talking about the owner's kids making decisions? Yeah, and do we really want, like, if you're like this billionaire guy, do you really want to bring that in? You know, Packers didn't have an owner, remember? But you're now dealing with every other team. They have owners.
As much as he irritated me, Jason will speak to this much better than I can, but I think the guy is taking time to reflect and realize, maybe I was part of the problem.
What do you mean? He literally did a whole thing about introspective and looking in and ayahuasca, and he still got Robert Saleh fired and tried to act like there wasn't any. What do you mean it's different?
I mean, now, right? Like, he went to New York and he tried to act like the general manager.
You're saying he got Robert Saleh fired? Wasn't Robert Saleh starting him against the wishes of the owner at the time? I mean, Jason, I don't know. We don't need to make this the whole Aaron Rodgers show, but is it – do we assume that Aaron Rodgers got Saleh fired or no?
There's a lot to unpack in the last 90 seconds. Again, Kyle, further proving how much he likes Aaron Rodgers. Kyle, you make a very, very, very good point. Like that is the number one thing, aside from are we going to, is this going to affect J.J. McCarthy's confidence or whatever else? That isn't even as big of a concern as, do we want to deal with all the crap that comes with having Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback? Because that is at where we're at with him. You're 1,000% right. To Strofe's point, I find myself wondering, is there a tipping point for him where, okay, I wanted the Brady experience, right? I go to a team that's starving to win. They're going to give me the coaches I want, the players I want. I'm going to be the unofficial boss of the building. And it worked out horrendously. He ruptures his Achilles. Last year they go 5-12. Everyone gets fired. His hand-picked offensive coordinator gets stripped of the play-calling duties. Like, it was the absolute opposite of Brady, who won a Super Bowl and got to that Super Bowl by beating Aaron Rodgers. It could not have gone worse for Rodgers. So to Strofe's point, is this enough for him to say, you know what, I need to walk the walk and not just talk the talk?
Right, we know he's a Taylor Swift fan. Is he willing to say, is he willing to go anti-hero and say, it's me, hi, I'm the problem, it's me.
I'm the problem, it's me, yeah.
Is he there?
Because if he is, and that is a big if, but yeah, he should be able to say, hey, you guys don't want me to do McAfee? I won't do McAfee. I can do that when I'm retired.
I'll do Wilding. Jason's just like, yeah.
Bring it back!
Jason's like, yeah. I won MVPs. I won Super Bowls with Wilding. Never won any of that with – I guess he did win some MVPs with McAfee, but no Super
Bowls.
We're
tied on MVPs. I think I have one more. I don't think he started McAfee in 20. I think it was 21.
That was 21. So, you're right.
Two MVPs with me, one with McAfee. But my point is that is he willing to go to the place of saying, you know what, I need to be all about ball. And I've got lots of other interests and whatever else, but I need to prove to everybody. And I want to go out on a high note, and I'm willing to set all this other stuff aside. I'm going to be insightful and interesting at my locker on Wednesdays in Minnesota if he ends up there. but I'm not gonna make it all the other stuff. If he's willing to do that, and Kyle's point, well, he's not the MVP that he was before. Remember, Brett Favre was not the same guy. I mean, he had the elbow injury in New York, but no one saw the kind of season that Favre had in 09 coming with the Vikings. And don't underestimate the power of pride and motivation to prove people wrong, especially when it comes to Rodgers. So, again, I just get the sense that when it comes to Pittsburgh, he's like, I'm not all that fired up about that. I love Mike Tomlin, but there's a lot of other aspects of that that don't appeal to me as much. I just think down deep inside, he looks at the Vikings situation.
Those receivers in Minnesota are Aaron Rodgers receivers. The guys in Pittsburgh don't feel like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, man, Garrett Wilson was on his way to being a great number one wide receiver, and then I don't know what happened.
Yeah, all right, before we let Jason go, and we just did this one long segment. All right, you guys have any – we spent all the time on Aaron Rodgers. Anything Packers we need to talk with Jason before we let him go, or are we good here? What's going on, Strophy?
I just have one quick thought, Jason. I had an epiphany this week, which is always scary for anybody involved. I think they're drafting offensive line again. What do you think about that?
No, I think they're going to draft an edge rusher.
Trenches no matter what, though, right?
So I did my story today on Channel 3000, and thanks to Zach Cruz from Packers Wire who helped me with it. But keep an eye on how many guys come for visits.
Yep.
Because if you go back and look, the numbers are pretty crazy.
Crazy.
Of how often those guys end up on.
Wait, why are you thinking Zach Cruz? Didn't we talk about this on Thursday, how many guys they've drafted in the top 30? You should be thanking me, Jason. Why are you thinking Zach Cruz for?
Yeah, I had seen that from him first. As much as and let's be honest, I give you tons of credit for how great you are.
Not enough.
Okay. The Strofe is amazing, almost as amazing as how hard it's raining right now here in Milwaukee.
Jason's in Milwaukee and he's not in studio? Oh my God. Wasn't at the analysis and isn't in the studio. I mean,
I think we gotta end the interview.
You were in a foreign country. I was in a gymnastics meet all day for the girls. So I did not get done in time for the analysis. But my point is that they have had at least one offensive lineman in for a visit. But they've had, I think, three edge rushers already. Remember, they get 30 of these visits. But I think that there's the good thing for them, and both the good and bad thing for them in this draft is that they've got a lot of needs. But when you've got a lot of needs, it also allows you to do that best player available because he's most likely going to fit a need.
Yeah, and this draft is terrible. There's only like whatever.
Well, we say that, yeah. But we have no idea.
But I'm saying what they say is there's like. No, maybe 14 guys who grade out as first round picks in this year's draft. No. Every single team still has their first round pick. No, literally no one has moved because no one cares about anyone that much in this first round.
Great point.
So I think, and everyone just watched the Super Bowl and watched what the Eagles did. So I think if you're going to want value and best player available, I would say it will not be an edge rusher because I think there'll be an overreaction to that. And there will be a lot of edge rushers picked. So if you pick an edge rusher, it's because you need one or you're overreacting like everybody else. Because I think that will be the biggest premium in this draft, Jason. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that take?
I think you're right. I saw the same thing that there's slightly over a dozen players that are truly first round grade worthy, which I do find myself also wondering then. Will that result in a couple of those wide receivers falling and being available to them either at 23 or with a move, just a few moves up if they see one falling? Because that, to me, is the one possibility this year that we always think, oh, well, maybe this is the year. But the fact that they did not do anyone, including Davante Adams, in free agency beyond Mecole Hardman, makes me wonder if the streak since 2002 finally comes to an end and they get the kid from Ohio State or McMillan from Arizona. Like that, I would not be, if that streak ends, I will not be stunned.
All right. Well, there it is from Jason Wilde. Appreciate you joining us as always. Great stuff, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
There he is, Jason Wilde. It's time for our mystery guest. Are y'all ready? I realize I should just call the mystery guest so then we don't have to worry about like
that's a good point.
Kyle looking at the phone, all
point.
That.
Wait a minute. My integrity is being questioned. I cover up the phone every. What? Yeah. Oh, really?
No, but then the timing's right. All right, let's just get to the mystery guest.
Well, we have a break just so you
know.
I know,
long
break.
Oh, it's a long. Oh, I thought it was a short one.
Six minutes. Yeah, we didn't break.
Whoa.
I said triage.
Yeah, but we could do like four. We could figure it out.
I said triage. I said.
No, we're not some commercial free music station where we load up like 6 minutes of breaks. We're doing four. We'll make it work with four. All right, we'll be back in four. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.